You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are and wherever you are, all around this gorgeous, gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. It's open line live tonight, and that means that we're going to be talking about whatever is on your mind. I, of course, have brought some topics to the table. Interesting stuff that is happening around this globe and out in space as well. And we'll talk about that if we have time, but we'll also talk about whatever is on your mind. And we'll open up the telephones in just a little bit. They're already beginning to blink, but we'll open the phones in just a bit after this first break. Now, those of you who are ardent listeners, regular listeners to this show, will remember that we had Joseph Farrell on the show. Dr. Farrell talked about his evidence for cosmic war. He said that he thinks that such a war has taken place and that there is evidence of it. And you remember that he said that he would like to come on this show and talk about that along with Richard Hoagland. And since that time, we've been working to get that scheduled, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen tomorrow night. Dr. Joseph Farrell and Richard Hoagland will join me tomorrow night here at the Kevin Smith Show, and they'll be talking about this cosmic war theory and the exploded planet theory and probably a lot of other things. But it no doubt is going to be one of those shows that rocks and rolls. You know what I mean? So you want to be sure that you spread the word and get everyone you know to tune in tomorrow night as we talk with Dr. Joseph Farrell and Richard C. Hoagland. Tonight, as I said, is open line, and part of what I've brought to the table is prompted by emails that I received. Every time I say anything whatsoever about global warming, I get a ton of email. It's almost religious, and there are people who try to convince me that global warming is happening. That always amazes me because I've not said that it isn't. What I've said is that the mechanisms are far more complex than just CO2 in the air. And it's happening, but it's not just happening here on this planet. It's happening elsewhere. But some of those emails are the impetus for some of the information that we'll talk about here tonight that I brought to the table. And what are you bringing to the party? What are you bringing? What topic? You want to talk about Nibiru? You want to talk about 2012? You want to talk about anomalies on Mars? Or you maybe want to talk about a haunted place or some ghost appearance that you have seen? You've seen a ghost? Whatever it is you want to talk about is fair game so long as it's not politics. You know, we don't do politics here. All right, we'll be back in just a moment after this break with Open Line Live. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. You know, there's never been a better time for you to start your own broadcast. I know there are a lot of paranormal investigators. I know there are a lot of people who are paranormal experiencers who want to have their own broadcast. Well, now you can, right here at Steel Eye Media Network. It is within your grasp. You can do it, and we're waiting to hear from you. Give us a call today at 1-800-318-1008. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
This is Charles Hall.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hardcastle.
This is Jason Martell, researcher into the ancient astronaut theory.
You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show, the number one talk show choice of many galaxies.
All right, as I said, it's Open Line Live night. Let me remind you, if you haven't yet subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, our free weekly newsletter, be sure you do that. There's really no reason why you should not be in the know. Now, I've got to tell you, I mentioned this before, I have run into people who are members. They are subscribed to our members area, and yet have never subscribed to our free weekly newsletter where all the information goes. The updates, things that are happening, things that are going to happen, all of that goes into the K-Files e-zine. And I just can't figure that out. I'm not scolding, believe me. I'm just baffled. It's free. K-Files e-zine is free, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to, and we never loan or lend or lease, I'll get it right in a minute, or rent or sell our email addresses to anybody. Okay, so when you subscribe, it's just for that. We don't pass those around. So you're not going to be spammed as a result of having subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, and it is free. So go over there and do that, all right? When I mention global warming, I get an avalanche of email from people trying to convince me that global warming is happening, and some of it's kind of the what's the matter with you, Smith, ilk. Can't you see? And I've never, ever said that global warming isn't happening. What I've said is it's not happening for the reasons and by the mechanisms being described by a particular sect of the global warming religion. There's more to it than that, and it's not just happening on Earth. So we're going to get into that a little bit here in a few minutes. First, I want us to go to the phone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's the supposed plant again. I'm sprouting leaves now.
Yep.
Anyway, I actually want to ask something. It's a bit of a theological question, but it may have probably, you know, also may involve alien visitation way in the distant past. And I might want to also get some feedback from other callers on it, too, maybe.
All right, shoot.
Okay, you know, Adam and Eve are supposedly the first two people who ever live on Earth, right?
Well, that is what the churches teach. That is not what Genesis says.
I know, well, that's what they teach. Okay, they're the first two people. And their only two children were Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel, right? So that means we're down to three people. Well, then Cain and his wife were banished. My question, that one...
Well, Cain was banished, and then he found a wife.
Well, yeah, he found a wife, but him and his wife got banished. Well, my question is, where does wife come from? If there were only two people left on Earth, where does wife come from?
Well, in Genesis, see, Genesis never claims that Adam and Eve are the first two people. In fact, it specifically says they are not. Genesis, what Genesis says is quite different from what churches teach.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis specifically says that on day six, there is a creation of the human race, and it is male and female on that same day.
Yes.
Now, whether you buy that it's a 24-hour day or not is not the issue here. The issue is they both happen on the same day.
Okay. I think there might have been a mistranslation somewhere.
No, it's a correct translation.
Correct translation for
yes, it is. It's a correct translation. It's bara, and it means day.
Wow.
All right. Now, they're not created by the Lord God, and it specifically says so.
Yeah.
It says in your English translation, God said, "Let us make man in our image."
Yeah.
And that's always a bit of a mystery to people, and theologians have written many volumes to try and explain that when all they have to do is translate the Hebrew correctly.
Mm.
Because the Hebrew does not say God, it says God's said. Let us make man in our image.
Hey, Kev.
Yep.
I want to ask another question.
Okay.
Do you have any radio affiliates here in Canada yet?
No, I don't. You want to start a radio station and put me on?
Well, I was thinking that maybe you're calling up CBC Radio 1 up in Timmins, Ontario. Maybe they can get you on.
Yeah, well, do it, man. Go for it. Go for it.
So,
but back to the Adam and Eve thing. Adam was not created on day six.
Mm-hmm.
He was created after day seven, if you read what Genesis says.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not created by gods. He was created by the boss god, the Lord God.
Yep.
So Adam is not the first man. Eve is not the first woman. They have a different creator than that other set of humans. And that other set of humans is where Cain's wife came from.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to brush up on my Bible reading a little bit, huh?
Grab my book. It's called Gods in the Garden. That's what it's about.
Oh, yeah. I was actually looking for some of your books online, actually, and I found one of them.
Yep, Gods in the Garden. And that's what it's about. Adam and Eve were not the first humans, but I'm going to blow your mind now and leave it. I just let you wonder about it. They're not the first humans. They're the last humans.
Hmm.
According to Genesis.
The last tribe of humans, I guess.
The last two humans.
Hmm. Interesting.
Cain and Abel were not human.
Mm, Cain and Abel. Anunnaki, maybe?
No.
No?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I've got you wondering now, don't I?
Well,
okay. It's all in Genesis. It's what it says. It's not what people prefer that it says. It's not what the churches teach that it says, but it is what it says.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so I guess I'll let you go for tonight.
All right, thanks for the call, man.
No problem, man. I'll talk to you again. I can't wait to talk to Richard Holden tomorrow night.
All right.
All right, have a good one.
All right, thanks for the call.
Yeah, now I'm going to get a ton of email about that. That's okay. Sometimes when I say that, it probably sounds like I don't want to get that email. I do. I enjoy it. I read it. Gives me something to do in my spare time. I work 20 hours a day, and in my spare time, I read email. But, yeah, no, it's fine. If you want to send me email about that, please do, or about anything else. Adam and Eve were not the first humans, according to Genesis. But also, according to Genesis, they were the last humans. Now, that's a mind blower, isn't it? Some people say, well, it's just however you interpret it. It's a Bible. It's just up for interpretation. No, it's not. I mean, come on, get real. It's written with words. Words have definitions. It says what it says. Now, theologians come along and, try to tell you what it means. It says what it says. Words have definitions. Well, let's go back to global warming. Global warming is not happening simply because of CO2 being belched out into the air by human activity. That's a fact. That's not an opinion, that's a fact. Global warming happens because of several mechanisms working together. Several mechanisms, very complex mechanisms, working together and bouncing off of each other cause global warming. If there were no human activity at all on this planet, there would still be global warming. Now, it might not be as severe, it might not be as accelerated, but it still would happen. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know that because climatologists, those are the scientists, the real guys that really do study weather. Not just, a PhD from Oxford, and he's got a PhD in Roman literature, but he's listed as, one of the big names in global warming. Now, I just made that character up, but that's the way it goes. But the climatologists, the real people who really do study climate, have known for a long time, and they've never hidden the fact, that global warming is a cycle that the Earth goes through. I mean, haven't you ever stopped to think about how it is that you're not in an ice age right now? Haven't you ever considered how is it that we're not in an ice age? It is because global warming began a long time ago, and the Earth began to warm up out of its ice age. It does that for a period of time, and then we enter another ice age because these mechanisms bump into each other like a pendulum. A pendulum swings from the left to the right. And it swings as far to the right as it possibly can, and then it falls back and begins to swing to the left. And it will swing as far as it can, and then it stops and falls back and swings to the right. And that's the way these mechanisms work. That's what's up. It's like a pendulum swinging. And so we go into a big, big ice age, and everything is really chilly. And we're there for a long time, and it gets colder and colder and colder and colder, and then it sort of levels out, and begins to get a little bit warmer, and then a little bit warmer, and then a little more, and a little more, and a little more, until, you know, global warming is on. And the ice begins to retreat. And it retreats steadily as the Earth warms and we come out of the Ice Age. It's still chilly. When I was a kid, the winters were much colder than they are now. And look, back in 1980, I could say that the winters were much colder when I was a kid than they are now. I could say that in 1980. It was true. Global warming is what happens that brings us out of an ice age. And what makes you think that it's going to get to a point where it just stops getting warmer? It doesn't. It continues to get warmer. And it just continues to get warmer and warmer and warmer. And then what happens is large amounts of ice begin to melt and flow into the sea. It changes the salinity of the sea. It changes the composition of the sea. Along with that, you've got volcanoes going off under the ocean. You've got earthquakes happening. And then because of the chemical change and temperature change of the water in the ocean, the Gulf Stream weakens. And it no longer brings that steady flow of warm water and warm climate northward. And as it weakens, temperatures begin to level off in that global warming series. They level off, and then what happens next is they begin to decline. And so the temperatures decline and decline and decline and decline. Precipitation is continuing to be massive, and the temperatures are declining. And can you see where you're headed? Massive precipitation, declining climate, or declining temperatures. You're headed back into an ice age. Now, this has happened over and over and over and over on this planet for the 4 billion years it's been around, or however long it's been. It has happened over and over and over. Now, how do we know that? Because there are these guys, you see, called climatologists. Climatologists are the real scientists that study weather. They're not the jack of all trades. They study weather, okay? And it always amazes me, and this happens on both sides of the global warming debate. I don't know why there's a debate. I mean, the whole thing just seems silly to me. But on both sides of this global warming debate, this happens. You'll see a report, and there'll be this long list of scientists who have signed up for the report. They support it. And you don't find very many climatologists in there. There's a long list of PhDs, but there aren't many climatologists in that report, and sometimes there aren't any. Don't you find that a little bit odd? That's like having physicists and engineers diagnose your medical problem and come up with a report detailing your treatment. Yeah, they're smart. Yes, they have PhDs. Are they medical doctors? No. Is that how you want your medical care done? A bunch of physicists and engineers, and let's widen the rocket scientists, widen that list. Rocket scientists and archaeologists, and they all sign on to this report detailing what treatment you should get for whatever it is that ails you. Well, you wouldn't do it, would you? Well, why is it that people buy hook, line, and sinker, the reports that come out on both sides of the issue, signed by everyone but climatologists. Why? And then they say some of the, 200 of the most eminent scientists on this planet have signed this report. I don't care. I don't care if Daffy Duck signed the report. If those are not climatologists, then it really has no weight. It, you know, with your medical care, and they come in and they say, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do the other thing, and you say, hold on a minute. When you say we are going to, who are you talking about? Well, 200 of the most eminent scientists on this planet have signed your document here saying that this is the treatment you need. You know what? Give me one country doctor. You can have 200 scientists. You can have 200 PhDs. Keep them. Give me one country doctor that says, all right, here's what we're going to do. Take two aspirin and call me in the morning. And yet on the global warming thing, and this is something near and dear to all of us, we live on this planet. If it dies, we go with it. You know that, right? You know that there's no place to go. You can't escape planet Earth. There's no place to go. If the planet goes, we go. So it's near and dear to us all. It's important to us all. Why is it that we will believe just because 100 eminent scientists or 200 eminent scientists signed that report and 50 eminent scientists signed that one? Who cares? Who cares? Show me the reports done by the weather guys. Show me the reports done by the climatologists. It's interesting that when the climatologists have looked at the data, they tell a different story. The climatologists tell this story. We're headed into a new ice age. Now, in just a little bit, we have to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to share some information with you about that. I'm going to share a report. Some climatologists, eminent climatologists, a group of them in Germany, that have taken a look at this, and they say in the next decade, we are into an ice age. Well, there goes all that industry about global warming. There goes all of that massive earth-shattering news about global warming. There goes all of that let's change society so drastically we won't recognize it. Because while you're getting ready for all that global warming, an ice age is going to hit within the next 10 years, according to these climatologists. And, you're going to be down to shirt sleeves, and what you're going to need is a fur coat. Not only that, and we heard about this when we talked with Marshall Masters last night. We heard about the fact that there is global warming happening elsewhere in the universe. I have an article about that as well. And we're going to open up the telephone lines so you can call in with whatever it is you would like to talk about. If you don't want to hear about this global warming, call and change the topic. All right? I'll open the phone lines when we come back, 1-800-289-1092. And I look forward to hearing from you, your questions, your comments about whatever. get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. It is Open Line Live, and that means that the telephone lines are open. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. It's toll-free, all right? Toll-free in the United States and in Canada. And we'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind tonight, all right? And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, I'm Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington. Is tonight Open Line Live?
It is indeed, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry because I don't get your show on the station over here, and so I wasn't able to. I don't know what your topic of discussion is. What I wanted to add, I had a few things I wanted to talk to you about. I don't know how close the break is, but
we just came out of a break. You got time? Go for it.
Okay. Hey, I was wondering, do you still have that UpSnap service? Where you can listen to the show over your cell phone?
Yes. At one point, they stopped taking new subscribers because there were so many. I don't know if they've opened that back up. But
I'm going to try and get on that. I'm going to try and get on that as soon as I can. Hey, you know, I wanted to get into a little bit about the sighting that happened down there in Phoenix that everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
I just want to see if I put my two cents in here. You know, I'm sorry, but I really have a hard time believing this new Phoenix Lights story. And one of the reasons why is because if it is real, then what propelled the person to call, or what the person who said that he saw that their neighbor was tying balloons together? I just who are they, and what are they making up a story? Why would they make up such a story like that? They must have been seeing, you know, and they must have been really hallucinating if they said that. I just.
Well, I don't know what his motives were, but I do know this. I do know that the details of how it was done can't be done.
I agree with you there. There's some parts about it that the details of it, like if they were helium balloons, I would imagine they would continue to rise in the air unless.
Well, a helium balloon will rise only so far. As it rises, what happens is the balloon expands, right? It expands because the pressure is getting less.
Well, I think we're going to get eventually. We're going to get to the bottom of this, I think, because I know the person's name, the guy's name that reported it. I saw it on a story on the internet. And there's people that know his name, and there's people that are eventually going to find him and ask him what happened. I mean, there's somebody's going to ask him somewhere along the line what's going on. I don't think he can run and hide forever. I don't know why they're not answering their phone. Maybe they're scared or something, but.
Yeah, well, maybe the story's not true.
That's true. I just wanted to express my opinion because I really don't think that just because there's a video of it on, and I'd like to know who took the video.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of videos. There's a bunch of them. I looked them up. I looked at, I don't know, about five or six of them. And the one that I put on my website for that show was the one that was the clearest out of all of them. But they all show the same thing. It's just, how people that are not used to filming stuff, the camera bounces around a whole lot and gets jittery and things go out of the view and so forth. And so, but all those videos were like that except this one. This one was
so steady. Yeah.
Pretty good. And and I had one email that said that this looked like someone that was a professional, doing this? Well, I don't think so. I'm not a professional, and I could have done that well.
Yeah.
Lots of us can. It's just some people can, some can't, and that one was pretty good.
Well, I think as soon as the person who claimed to be the purporter of this hoax, and the question I have is the next day or a couple of days later, he came out and admitted that he did it. Either he's trying to get attention or he didn't do it. I don't know, but he's going to have to answer a question whether he did or he didn't, and his neighbor's going to have to talk sometime, and we'll figure out exactly what happened. I think that's the only way to figure it out because, you know.
Did you hear the show that I did with Jeff Woolline about that?
Yeah, I did, and I'm sorry. I have a lot of respect for IPAS and a lot of the reporters. I'm sorry. I just, when I was listening to him, I respect him and everything, but when he was taking it a little too far. He was going into talking about, talking about something that happened up in the mountains with ancient Indians or something. And I just don't see how he got that from a video of four lights in the sky.
He's been researching that stuff for years, and he was saying that those lights are identical to what's carved in those rocks and what the Indians say they saw and what he's filmed on other occasions.
Well, okay, I understand that.
So that was his connection there. But, you know, here's the deal. If I go out into my backyard and I tie a traffic flare to a helium balloon, regardless of how I attach it, and I set it on fire and let it float into the sky right here over Phoenix, I've broken the law.
Exactly.
And the thing to me that says this is not helium balloons with flares tied to it is that no law enforcement's interested in this. The police department's not interested. The fire marshal's not interested. Nobody's interested. You know why? The only reason that it could be is it didn't happen.
Well, there should be people in the community that are upset about it. First of all, we're living after 911. This is an age where you have to be careful of anything you see that's suspicious. I mean, there's Al Qaeda out there, and if there's something that's flying over a residential city, people have the right to know what's going on. I mean,
first, I don't think people need to be afraid. I don't think people need to be afraid. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But with flares, if you tie a flare with monofilament line and attach it to a balloon and then strike that flare and set it on fire, it doesn't have to burn very long before it'll burn that monofilament line.
And well, maybe the story isn't correct then or something. But.
Yeah, and then the flare drops to the ground still on fire because it burns from the inside out.
Well, who is this individual that made this claim? Who is his neighbor? Their name has already been published on the internet. They're not going to be able to run it. They're not going to be able to hide from everybody forever. I just don't. They should just come out and talk and explain what happened. If it's a hoax, we're just wasting our time here, you know. I'm not saying that it is or isn't. I do have a problem with flares, the flare story that you're explaining, that it would be flares. I understand. I don't think it would be flares either. But.
Well, I read some more reports about it, and the witnesses said that after about 13 to 15 minutes, the whole formation flew off towards the east. Now, flares on balloons are not going to stick together and fly off to the east in formation.
Right. But with all the videos, all the videos got turned off before this happened?
I don't know if they got turned off, but none of that part of it has been uploaded to the internet that I found.
Well, okay, I just wanted to call and express my opinion. Hey, can you give us maybe like a little hint on who you got coming up the rest of the week? Or
I'll tell you who's coming tomorrow night. We'll do that. Tomorrow night I have Dr. Joseph Farrell will be back along with Richard Hoagland.
Excellent.
They're going to be talking about the cosmic war and the exploded planet theory and maybe a little hyperdimensional physics to boot.
Should be a good one tonight.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you some other time.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right, it's Open Line Live, 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hey, Trey.
Hey, Kevin. I think you mentioned before that the flares have taken the spot of the weather balloon.
And yeah.
Since we don't use weather balloons hardly anymore, it sounds even more ridiculous than it did before to say it. So now it's flares, which sounds ridiculous also.
I agree.
Yeah, and as far as you were talking about the global warming thing, I think it's something that's become religious to people. It's either religious because you're political with it, or it's religious because you're making money off of it, or you know, for whatever reason, or because you just want it to be so that, you know, I don't know, that maybe human beings could be so powerful. Because the same people that say, you know, we're affecting it and evil oil companies this, they say we're just fleas on a dog. And, you know, those things don't go together. But the whole point is that we're gonna find out yet together, like you said, whether this is a cycle or whether it's something coming into our orbit causing this. And it's not really our planet.
I think it's a confluence of things.
Yeah.
Look, here's the deal. It is a cycle. That is an established scientific fact. It is a cycle. You've probably seen documentaries, Trey, where they talk about previous ice ages.
Yeah.
Well, between every ice age, there is global warming.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's what brings you out of an ice age, you know? Hey, we've got a break coming up. I'm going to have to run, but I appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Think about that. All these ice ages that you've heard about. What is it that brought us out of ice ages? Global warming. Yeah, it is a cycle. But there's a confluence of things coming together, happening, all at the same time, that's making this one a little bit more dramatic. More about that when we come back, and more with your calls, 1-800-289-1092.
Thank you.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. We are back. It is Open Line Live, and that means we'll talk about what's on your mind. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
How you doing tonight?
Outstanding, sir. How are you?
Good. Real good. Yeah, I heard you talking about the Phoenix Lights, and I did catch a little bit of the Jeff Woolwine show the other night. I actually came in late, then I started the next day to listen to the replay of it. And I was hearing you were talking about, you know, how the guy would have did it and everything with the fishing line. It doesn't sound practical, which it doesn't to me either. But I do believe that there is somebody out there who actually did this. I was happened to working here the other day on the computer. You know, I got one ear on the computer, one ear listening to the radio, and it was another show. And you know, you have to help me with the name here, but it's that filmmaker, the guy that does the rods. First name is Jose.
Jose Escamilla.
Yeah, right. And he was talking about, and he said he talked to this guy. He couldn't get him to come forward. Now, that's what I think I heard. Like I said, I'm focusing on my work and trying to listen at that same time, but that's what I thought I heard.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say that this thing is not flares. I am going to say unequivocally, I'm going to say he didn't tie it with monofilament line and hook it on to some helium balloons and release them a minute apart.
I agree with you. And, you know, you mentioned used to fishing, you know how fishing line is, and I'm from Michigan and I did a lot of fishing, so I know what you mean by burning it. It just kind of instantly snaps. And no, unless he, but we don't know what type of rig he actually had it set up or anything. You know, we don't know how close the flares were to the fishing line.
I will say this. The witnesses said that after 13 to 15 minutes, these lights in formation flew off to the east.
Yeah, but the problem is with that, too. No, I'm not saying one way or the other, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, with no pun intended, it's all up in the air still. But witnesses, people got a tendency, you know, to see what they want to see and exaggerate and remember things differently the next day than they actually occurred. I think if you took 100 witnesses, they would all seen something different. And I'm not saying that's what happened. In fact, I was just calling you to let you know there's also, and I just added as I'm sitting here, and you have to excuse me because I haven't even read it yet, by one of my contributing writers, an article on these Phoenix Lights. And if you go to that, it's the first article listed on my index page, the most recent added article. And it has a link that goes to Phoenix New Times. Now, you know what Phoenix New Times is.
Sure.
Weekly newspaper week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're doing an article saying the FAA has muffled reports on this. I'm trying to go to that page as I'm talking. I got one of those wireless mice, and it doesn't seem to work when I'm on the phone.
Well, look, you have two airports that said, we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay? And you have Luke Air Force Base saying, hey, it wasn't us.
Yeah. And anyways, they were saying something about the FAA trying to muffle them from talking about it at one of their airports.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a very good possibility that it's hoaxed. I think there's no possibility that it was done in the way that was described. No possibility.
I completely agree there.
But here's another thing.
But we don't know what type of rig that this guy might have did or anything.
Well, here's one other thing. Why are no law enforcement agencies interested in it?
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Yeah, some guy sets off street flares over the city of Phoenix. You know, it seems like somebody would be showing up at his door and at least giving him some kind of a fine, you know, for fire department or somebody.
Yeah, there's several laws that are broken there. And
yeah, I know what you mean. Those things, they burn hot, very hot.
Yeah, and if they fall, which they would have done, they would have fallen still burning all the way to the ground.
Yeah, you know those street flares too, all that stuff that comes drips off them. It's like molten lava, you know. You can imagine it dripping on any of the public, but then not mentioning if it fell on somebody's shingled roof house, you know, it burned a hole right through the roof and started a fire.
Well, here's another thing. Traffic flares are designed as illumination devices. They put off a lot of light. That's what they're used for. And unless that balloon was more than 100 feet above it, this is just my estimation, having worked with traffic flares on many occasions. That balloon would have had to be more than 100 feet above it, or you would have seen the balloons in the illumination.
Yeah, I just got to be open to both possibilities because, you know, whenever I'm sure as large as Phoenix is, you've got a lot of cranks out there. They hear about the Phoenix Lights, and they want to get a chuckle out of this whole situation, and they say, hey, watch how I can fool these guys again, and, you know, it goes on all the time. So there's got to be incidents like that going on almost constantly, you know. Usually nobody sees them. Maybe a few people see them and they'll turn in reports. But I, like I say, you know, there's a lot of arguments both ways. But I would hate to see that this is being some type of fake fraud, and this guy's just sitting back and looking, you know, chuckling about him, thinking all the attention he's getting from this, all the coverage he's getting.
Well, the attention he's getting from me is I want the police to go out and investigate, or the fire marshal, and arrest the guy if he did it.
Yeah. So obviously they know who did it because the guy's neighbor reported him doing it. And you say
if he actually did it.
Right.
Now the biggest thing in this that screams to me it's not flares is no law enforcement agency is interested.
Well, and that's another thing too. It may not have been flares, but yet it may have been something that he set up there.
Could be.
His neighbors was over there looking at him and saying, well, this what looked like to him. It was flares, you know, his interpretation. It could have been something totally different. I'm sure.
Could be. It could very well be a hoax.
Yeah.
But there are no arguments other than us saying we're open-minded about it. There are no arguments supporting it being a hoax.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, so, yeah.
All the arguments at this point say it was real. All the evidence at this time points that direction. Now, if there's further evidence developed, it could point a different direction.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just exploring different possibilities here. To, you know, you got to explore it all. You know,
that's true.
Like I say, you know, because like I say, his neighbor's over there watching him. His neighbor, I don't know if his neighbor even confronted him.
His neighbor watched him, and maybe that's not true.
Yeah, it could be. That could be part of the whole cover story.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
Kevin.
But, you know, again, the two really surprising things about this. Luke Air Force Base, it's almost as if they put their hands up and say, surrender. We didn't have any jets up there. It wasn't us. Okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, we don't know. It wasn't us.
Yeah.
All right, and then you've got the police and the fire marshal not interested in investigating. Now, if it really was flares, that's something they have the ability to investigate and prosecute. If it's not flares, if it was UFOs, then it's beyond their ability to investigate, and then they would say, what?
They would say,
we're not interested in investigating it.
Now, let me try a different perspective at this, and with all due respect to everybody I refer to, and we get upset when the non-believers chuckle at the UFOs, but what about the believers who believe everything is UFO? I mean, to me, it's healthy to remain skeptic and cautious and look at both sides. Now, because I listen to Jeff Warren, with all due respect to him now, he does jump at the conclusion that everything's a UFO.
No, he really doesn't. He really doesn't. But I'll tell you, he does think that almost all of what we call UFOs are really these living entities.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're into a break.
Okay, Kevin. Good talking to you, bud.
Good talking with you. Thank you for the call.
Take care.
All right. All right, folks. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with Open Line Live, your telephone calls at 1-800-289-1092. And we'll tackle nearly anything except politics, all right? We'll be back.
Somebody find my phone. You see, I don't remember nothing. I just found myself alone. Somebody needs to help me. Cause now I ducked out on a limb. Yeah, with nothing to protect me. Remember what happened that day I see you found the door.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And we're back. It is Open Line Live. That means we'll talk about what you want to talk about. And the telephone line is open, 1-800-289-1092.
At the moment, we don't have any callers lined up, so it should be easy to get in. We would love to hear from you. What's on your mind? During the break, I took a look at some of the email coming in. One of them is from Canada. Now, flash messages are for people who live outside the USA or they live outside of Canada. If you live in Canada or the USA, we need you to give us a call, okay? And we pay for the call. However, I did read it, and I'm going to comment on this particular one in just a moment. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana.
Hello, Dick.
How you doing there?
Good.
Kevin?
What's on your mind?
Is it just me, or do you think there's more earthquakes going on now than ever?
Well, look, I'm not an expert. I'll give you my opinion.
Yeah.
My opinion is there are more.
That's what I'm thinking, because in my 60 years, I can't recall having this many together that we had before. As a matter of fact, they had a 5.4 this morning in California. I can't remember what the name of the place was, but I just seen it on there, and then they had a couple aftershocks.
Well, you know, it was, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that. There was a swarm of earthquakes out in the ocean off of Oregon, and they had like 600.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say here. It just seems like, for some reason, we're having an abundance of earthquakes for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know what the reason is, but it is my opinion that we're having more earthquakes. Now, I think it was 2 years ago. I remember this show, and I remember it very well because I spent all day compiling the information for it, and I think it was 2 years ago.
Right.
I did a show where I just read a list of earthquakes and the dates for a 30-day period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And there were something like, and I can't remember exactly, but it was something like 36 earthquakes in a 30-day period of time. And that was 2 years ago. And we have more than that now. I could take a 30-day period of time, and in that 30 days, probably come up with 40 or 50 earthquakes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you want a little fact here?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Well, I checked my files and my data files, and I had to go back to about 1965, okay? And I had to check. That particular year, we had a lot of UFOs reports all over the country. And not quite as many earthquakes, but we had more than any other years. So there might be a correlation.
Well, I actually have seen some documentaries on, a correlation and scientists trying to figure out if the stone slabs, in the plate slipping against each other, cause like a spark that flies into the air. And they have found that it does do that sometimes, but it dissipates pretty quickly.
I think I've seen that same document. Something else that I noticed when we had the quake up here in Indiana on the same, the next day after the Kokomo UFO thing, I did notice there was a guy that used to talk about relationships with pets and missing pets and how your pets react just before an earthquake. Well, I can guarantee you the two dogs that I had tried to run under the couch, and it wouldn't work because the couch, it hasn't got anything, it's not that high up. But if they could have crawled under there, they'd have crawled under there. And that was probably 15 minutes before the quake happened.
And I don't know how they know, but, you know, it's been reported all over the world. And even the snakes in the zoo get different before an earthquake.
It's interesting. I really don't I don't know, because, see, we're not really in an earthquake area, to find out whether it's just the vibration. And I don't know how you'd do a study like that, but it would be interesting, because if pets would be able to tell that, that could be something that could be, you know, a scientific type thing.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Absolutely.
I don't know how that would, you know, how you would try that, unless, you know, you'd have to simulate like an earthquake, and I don't think that maybe that would work.
You know, I'm sorry you said that, because some scientists will build a lab to do it. you know, they got one now. They're going to build some black holes, and I think that's not too wise. But now we have an earthquake laboratory to look forward to. Somebody will be setting off earthquakes to see what happens.
Well, you're probably right, because every time you come up with something, science will try to either disprove it or prove it, and then maybe make extra points on it.
Absolutely true. Dick, thank you for the call. I have to move on, but I do appreciate the call. Interesting. Keep an eye on those pets of yours. They crawl under the chair again. We'll head for high ground, man.
Well, I'll give you a call and let you know something's coming.
All right.
All righty. You take care.
Thanks for the call.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-800-289-1092. Yeah, you know, dogs, cats, birds, monkeys, even the snakes, as I said, they can tell when something's up like that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Tom from Chatsworth, California.
Yeah, Tom.
How you doing today?
Outstanding, sir.
First thing I want to say is that Phoenix lights and the flares, that's a load of baloney. That's total disinfo. Anybody that's ever fished knows that if you even put a flame near a fishing line, it'll curl up.
Yeah, it vaporizes.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think people really will believe whatever they put on the news. Shut them up.
Well, like I say, they need better script writers for these cover stories.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't buy it for a minute. Another thing is, have you ever heard of the Battle of Los Angeles?
Yes.
No one ever talks about that. That was never resolved back in, what, 1942?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was over Santa Monica. I think it was a UFO, and they thought it was the Japanese doing a surprise attack, and they fired, like, 1,400 rounds. Never hit it.
Had it in their spotlights. They had it spotlighted, and there's a picture of that was in the newspaper.
Exactly, on the L.A. Times. You can look that up, too, and see that. They never... No one ever talks about that. You know?
I did a show on that about, that was about 2 years ago as well, and I asked for people in California that may have witnessed it to call us. We didn't hear a word.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. I don't know.
But it's well documented. It did happen. It's not one of those urban legends. It did happen. The newspaper ran a photograph of the UFO in the spotlights.
Right.
And
they couldn't hit it.
No, they couldn't hit it. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. That's the number. And we pay for the call, all right? So there's no reason for you to not pick up that telephone, and let's discuss what's on your mind this evening. It's far more interesting than just sitting and listening to me. I'm not even sure I would sit and listen to me. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Sorry, I'm going to talk to you on my cell phone. For some reason, when I try to use my landline here at the house, I can't get through. I just get, like, one of those fax lines. So I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Thanks for having Marshall Masters on last night. I really enjoyed the discussion about his spin on 2012.
Well, I tell you what, he always fascinates me.
He's very well informed about what's going on. There's a whole bunch of things, you know, the Mayan calendar and what Marshall was talking about and what, those of us that work in the psychic areas and stuff are also finding out on a day-to-day basis. And there's just a whole bunch of things that are going on. The supposed visit of alien spacecraft possibly coming. I just think it's going to be an exciting time. I'm not really looking at it as the doomsday type of thing that a lot of people are saying is going to be happening, like Revelation and stuff. And so anyway, I just wanted to just say, you know, thanks for having Marshall on, and, you know, hopefully you'll have him on again some other time.
He's going to be back with us pretty soon.
Great.
Pretty
soon. How about Dr. Brooks Agnew? Are you going to be able to get him on again sometime soon?
Yes. We will be inviting him to come back soon, Dr. Brooks Agnew and Marshall Masters. And then tomorrow night, of course, we've got Dr. Joseph Farrell and Richard Hoagland.
Oh, can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
A really interesting interview. Really interesting discussion.
I think so.
Okay, Kev, that's all I wanted to add tonight. I'll listen to you tomorrow night, and I'll hopefully call in.
All right, thanks for the call. 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. And Debbie brought up the subject of Marshall Masters and what he talked about last night with 2012 and Nibiru or Planet X. In keeping with that, we have a flash message out of Australia. And caller, if you will, just hang on, and we'll get to you here in just a moment. This flash message is from Tony. It says, "Hi, Kevin. What I can't work out is where will the first observation of Nibiru be? Will it be south or north? Many thanks, Tony, in New South Wales, Australia." Well, according to almost everyone that I've heard talk about it, it will be approaching from what we call the south. You do understand that out in space, there's no up or down. Out in space, there's really no north or south. And so, but it's what we call our south pole, from the direction of what we call our south pole, Nibiru, our Planet X, is supposed to be approaching from that direction. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. John in North Carolina. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you just fine, John.
Well, the reason I ask, I got dittos on Debbie there. I got a fax machine last night and tonight.
Well, I really have no explanation for that, unless when the lines are full, if it's just forwarding over to something else. I don't know. I'll have to see.
Yeah, well, I was beginning to wonder if this was a taped show, you see.
No.
Oh.
Not at all.
Now,
nor was last night.
Pardon me?
Nor was last night.
Oh, well.
Last night was live and tonight's live.
Well, I was beginning to wonder if you were in the hospital or something. I guess it's the phone line.
It's just, the phone might need to go to the hospital.
Yeah, I hear you. So you're going to have Richard Hoagland on tomorrow night.
He and Dr. Joseph Farrell together.
Oh, man, I'm not going to miss that one.
That'll be hot.
I think, you know, a lot of people think Richard is a little wacky, but if you listen to him and go to his site and look at all the research he's done, you know, you can't help but believe what he tells you.
You know something? There are people that think Dr. Michio Kaku is a little wacky. And because he talks about these universes existing like big bubbles just bunched up together. And yet, Dr. Michio Kaku is responsible for this thing we call the string theory. And he is responsible for a whole lot of the quantum physics that is used in order for your cell phone to work.
Right.
So, you know, all these guys, you know, it's not wacky. It's just that it's beyond most of us.
Oh yeah, those guys are intelligent compared to me. you know what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
But the one main thing I'd like to mention about Richard's website, I don't remember the website right offhand, but he's got a picture of a portion of Mars. I believe it's the Chaos region or something like that, where it's a an image of what looks to be an ancient civilization. Have you seen that one?
I sure have.
Oh, and you know, I went to the ESA website and downloaded an original from them, and there it is on there, too.
Their pictures are so much clearer than the pictures we get from NASA. Isn't it amazing?
Oh, yeah. But what I'm trying to say, I believe Richard's right about ancient civilizations on Mars.
Well, I think he is. The evidence seems to point that direction. And I haven't seen or heard any actual evidence. I've heard a lot of opinions, but no evidence disproving what he's presenting as evidence.
But, well, the reason I say that is because the ESA, I don't see what reason they would even have to put forgeries out there on the Internet, do you?
Well, no. You know, I think they would hide something before they would... that's not saying what I intend. If they were going to forge something, they would airbrush it. They would cover something up. But when they put it out there, and there it is, and you're looking at it, I think you're looking at just exactly the photograph they got.
Well, that's my take on it, too, until I find out different, you know. I'm not a UFO freak or anything like that, but when I see some hard evidence in front of me, it tends to make me wonder about it all, you know.
Sure. Well, thank you for the call.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, John. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. Yeah, I don't know why that's rolling over to a fax line. What's supposed to happen, when you call, if the phone lines are tied up, you're supposed to get a voicemail that tells you that we've already got some people on hold and the lines are full, and it asks you to call again. I know it says that because I recorded it. That's what you're supposed to get. But if you're getting a fax line, I'll check into that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don again. I just wanted to let you know, yeah, Debbie's not crazy. It's not her phone or the last caller. You know, I've been getting that for some time, last week or more. Whenever you got a full line, I get that. It sounds like a fax machine. I don't know if it is, but that's the sound it gives. Where I used to get a busy signal. So there's something happening to your line.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. I'll check into it.
Okay, Kim.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
All right. 1-800-289-1092. That's the number to call. It is toll-free, and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind tonight. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Kevin. I was just going to add something to Dick's thing about earthquakes. He might want to get hold of somebody in Reno. They've been having small earthquakes to medium earthquakes since the 29th of February on a regular basis. They've had hundreds of them in the past several months.
In Reno?
Reno. It's shake and bake up there.
Well, then. And what is it that they're saying is causing it?
They don't know. They're thinking it's building up to a major one, but they don't know what it is.
Well, you know, that's close enough to where I live that if they have a major one, we possibly would feel it here.
Yeah. But I just wanted to drop that into Dick's here, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call.
1-800-289-1092. Whatever is on your mind, we want to hear it. Let's talk about it, all right? Yeah, lots of earthquakes, a lot of earthquake activity happening all around the world. Lots of massive precipitation happening around the world. Robert Felix told us it was coming. It's here. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
Good.
Good, good. Just kind of touching on what was talked about last night, have you ever seen the movie Deep Impact?
Yes.
Yeah, you know the part at the end where they know that they can't stop the impact and they have the lottery and kind of shuffle everybody off to the safe zones, the arcs, as they call them?
Yeah.
It just, that whole, after listening to that show last night, I caught the tail end of that movie, and I was just thinking to myself, man, I wonder if, you know, that's probably what it would be like, you know, if we you know, knew it was coming, things were going down, and, you know, we would really find out just how organized the government could be if they needed to be, you know, to preserve the species, I guess.
Well, you know, we had a caller earlier that brought up, in fact, our first caller tonight brought up something that's in the Bible. And there are people that just get so nervous about that. They think if you even mention the Bible that you're having a church service. But look, you know, it's an ancient document. It's 66 ancient documents. And if we are going to read and pay attention to the Vedic texts, and if we're going to pay attention to the Sumerian texts, I don't see any reason that's legitimate or rational why we wouldn't pay attention to what do these 66 texts also say.
Exactly.
And in the book that in English we call Revelation, it talks about a comet hitting the earth, and it calls it Wormwood, and it crashes into the earth, into the ocean, and causes a third of the ocean's life to die. That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
It's fortunate, I guess, that it crashes into the ocean. I guess that's fortunate. But these things, you know, the scientists tell us it's not a question of are we going to be hit, it's a question of when are we going to be hit again by a huge piece of space junk. So I think, you know, that whole movie, Deep Impact, I think it shows probably with a fair degree of accuracy how things are going to go.
Yeah, and it was kind of odd to see, you know, kind of the human behavior, how it took place in that movie, even with Morgan Freeman there as the president at the end, his last address to the people, you know, pretty much going, hey, you know, this is it. There's really nothing more we can do, and we'll see you on the other side, you know.
Yeah, and that, in a case like that, a president would be in that position. I mean, there are things that can happen that are way beyond the control of the most powerful government on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
The United States government may be the most powerful right now on the face of the earth. I hear that we're the only superpower. Okay. There are things way beyond the control of that powerful government. And an incoming asteroid or comet that's going to impact the Earth would be way beyond their control.
Yeah. And I always wonder, too, you know, being, I mean, just because I live in the United States, it actually, you know, obviously it pertains more to me, but I wonder what our place as far as the United States goes is going to be in this global scheme of things, you know, be it Planet X or Disclosure. I just have a feeling that those kind of things are tied in anyway, so I kind of group them all into one event. But, you know, I wonder how, where we're going to sit. You know, what's the United States' role in all this? You know, are we sitting on top of things that could help everybody, or are we preparing in ways that, you know, other countries aren't? That, you know, I don't know. I'm just curious, you know.
Well, I think the answer to the both of those is yes. I think we probably are sitting on top of technologies that could be vastly helpful to people, but sitting on them because they are also potentially vastly dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of technology that could be very, very helpful, but in the wrong hands could destroy the planet. And are we sitting on it? I hope to God we are.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
And I hope whoever's sitting on it is very much overweight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No time for bulimia or anorexia now.
Yep, that's right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
All right.
your wisdom and insight as always.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye. Yeah, I look. That's one of those topics that I know I'll get email about. And that's fine. Please feel free to send it. But it's just a fact that that's what I think. I think there are technologies so dangerous, could be very helpful to us, but so dangerous that we can't afford to let the genie out of the bottle. We'll be back on the other side of this break, and we'll take more of your calls.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Right, we are back. It is Open Line Live. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll. 1-800-289-1092. Whatever is on your mind, we'll talk about it. And isn't it interesting the variety of things that people are thinking about? It's just fabulously interesting. All right, we have a flash message that I want to get to. It says, I have a problem with the way people use the word believe. They ask, do you believe in aliens, or do you believe in giants, or do you believe in Bigfoot? What has our beliefs to do with anything? If aliens exist, they exist. If Bigfoot exists, it exists. My believing if they exist or not has nothing to do with whether they exist or not. 1,000 years ago, people believed that the earth was flat. What happened to that belief? But on a, he names a particular show, talk show, he says the host keeps asking if his guest or the callers believe if aliens exist, or if MJ-12 exists, or if ghosts exist. It does not make sense. That's my pet peeve. Okay. Well, you're preaching to the choir. That's what I say all the time. Now, what we believe can have a personal impact upon us. Okay? But it has no impact upon reality. It has an impact upon how we respond to reality. It has an impact upon how what consequences then flow to us as a result of our response to reality. But it has no impact at all on reality. I know there are people who think that we create our own reality. That's simply not true. We do not create our own reality. We create our experience of reality. But we don't create our own reality. And I've used this as an example. If you think that you create your own reality, then believe with all your heart, with all your mind, body, and soul, that you can breathe underwater. Believe it ardently. Meditate upon it. Get it ingrained in your soul. And then go try it. See if you can breathe underwater just because you believe you can. You can't. Reality is called reality for a reason. It's because it's real. There are things that are reality. And whether we believe them or don't believe them has nothing to do with whether it is reality. And this is what I say. You know, I've got a little video clip. Many of you have seen it. The video clip is entitled, Do You Believe in UFOs? Flatulent Minds Want to Know. And if you haven't seen that, it's on my website. Go over there and scroll down till you find the information base. It's the first link, all right? And that's the point. The point I say in there, that's the stupidest question anybody ever asked me. Do you believe in UFOs? And many of you have heard me say over and over and over, that's like asking me if I believe in doorknobs. I mean, either they exist or they don't exist. What does belief have to do with it? Nothing. Absolutely zero. If they exist even if you don't think so. If they don't exist, then they don't, even if you believe it with all your heart. And so what we have to be after is the evidence. What's the evidence? And is there good, solid, forensic evidence that they exist? The answer is yes, piles of it. So I agree with that. Philip, I agree with that. Now, does that mean that there is no place for belief in our lives? Well, of course there's a place for belief. Belief is what you do when you get to the end of the... You ask a question, and when you get to the end of the answer and there's still a blank at the end of the sentence, belief is what you put in there. And that's what we do with God. That's what we do with things we can't put in a test tube. We either decide to believe or not believe. Okay? And that's what we do. You know, belief, some of you may know the word, the English word belief, if you trace it back etymologically, it goes back to descending from a Greek word. And it's the same Greek word that we also translate faith. Belief and faith come from the same origin. The word is pistuo. Now, belief has a function and a place. And what would life be if there were no place for belief? Well, we would be mechanistic and we would be dull. And not very creative. Belief is necessary in the creative process. Belief is necessary in some parts of a scientific process, but only in the early stages. And then the forensic evidence of scientific experimentation and documentation takes over. But belief has a function. It's got a place. But its place is not in driving the car or flying the plane. I don't want a pilot that believes he can fly. I want one who knows he can fly. Get the point? All right. I mentioned some information about global warming early in the show. And one of the things that I find very interesting is the fact that climatologists are the people that are taking a look at the global warming thing, and they are the ones saying, you know what, we're headed into an ice age within the next decade. We will enter an ice age. These are climate scientists in Germany. And they base their prediction on what they believe is an impending change in the Gulf Stream. They think, based on what they're looking at, that the Gulf Stream is going to change, it's going to weaken, and it's not going to flow as strongly to the north, carrying the warm waters and the weather that goes with it. Into North America and Europe. And so what's going to happen, according to these scientists, is we are headed into another ice age. Now, this article addresses the fact that the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change said last year that by 2100, global average surface temperatures could rise between 1.1 centigrade and or Celsius and 6.4 Celsius, which means from 1.98 to 11.52 degrees Fahrenheit. They base those calculations on atmospheric concentrations of carbon gases. As Robert Felix pointed out, if you ran your bathtub full of water, cold water, and you wanted to heat that water, how long would you have to blow hot air over the surface of that water to heat it hot enough for you to be able to enjoy a hot bath? Well, it's never going to happen. You can't heat the water sufficiently by blowing hot air over it. All right? The mechanism that drives the weather is the ocean. It's not that the weather drives the ocean, it's the ocean drives the weather. And when things change in the ocean, they change in our weather. And so the story of global warming is not, it truly is not CO2 gas in the atmosphere so much as, and that plays a part, but not very big. That's not the story so much as what's happening in the oceans. The oceans of this earth drive the weather. They create the weather of this planet. So what's happening in the oceans is more important than what's happening in the air in terms of global warming. There are stresses being placed on this planet. I think, and I would have to say at this point, I believe, by the approaching Planet X. We'll be back.
I can't sleep, can't even breathe, but that won't change soon. If you're lonely, ask her, she owns me, she lives in my room. Your mind, leave the boy behind. Melt me and drag me down, down into your mind. If I'm close to burning, I'm out on the sea. Oh, what it means that you're watching them for me. My eyes are blurry, they need you loving me. And oh, what it means that it's unconditionally.
Down, down into
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's open line live. That means you can call in, and if you don't like the topic under discussion, or you just want to talk about something else, call in, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about, whatever's on your mind. Call 1-800-289-1092. In the absence of that, let me comment on global warming yet a bit more. Global warming is a trend that happens between every ice age. That's what brings you out of an ice age. Now, I am not an advocate of continuing to belch billions and trillions of tons of CO2 and other contaminants into the air. We have to breathe. And that stuff is not good for you. Furthermore, it can exacerbate the problems created by natural trends. Why make something worse? That doesn't make sense, does it? Why make something worse? So I'm not an advocate of continuing to do that. I am an advocate of developing clean technologies. And I agree with Dr. Brooks Agnew that these technologies should not take food off the table. And that's, of course, much in the news now. That's happening as farmers are turning to crops that they can sell, even corn, that they can sell for the production of ethanol and other biofuels. That's not the answer. That's creating problems with Earth's food supply. That's not the answer. There are other clean technologies that we can turn to that will not destroy our food supply or disrupt our food supply. And we've got to do that. But having said all of that, please understand, global warming isn't just happening here. It's happening on every planet in our solar system. Out of Paris, there is a report that global warming is heating Mars 4 times faster than Earth. 4 times faster. I said earlier, there is a confluent situation here. There is a confluence of many events, big events, taking place. One, we are bobbing up towards moving through the equator of our galaxy. They call it the galactic medium. That's putting stress and strain on the solar system. Furthermore, there are reports, I don't know for sure that they are true and accurate. I have no reason to disbelieve them. By the same token, I have not yet seen Planet X. But there are reports that there is an incoming large body, Planet X, if you will, for many people that would be Nibiru, approaching the Earth. And you would expect that the forces surrounding that large body would begin to disrupt and have interplay in our solar system as it approaches. The sun has no sunspots on it at the moment. And, let me back off of that. There may be, I think, maybe two little sunspots now. But the other day, we had a big explosion on the sun, like we expect from a sunspot when it explodes, and then you have a solar flare, and then you have this coronal mass ejection. Well, we had that. No sunspot. First time that's been observed. Something is disrupting the solar system, it would seem. Something is causing global warming on Mars, and it's not humans belching CO2 into the air. There are no humans there so far as we know for sure. It's not human activity that's causing global warming on Venus. It's not human activity causing global warming on Saturn and Jupiter and all the way out to Pluto. It's warming up too. Yeah, I know scientists said that's not a planet. Well, yeah, okay. Whatever it is, it's getting warmer. And there's no human activity on these places. Does that mean we should not pay any attention to human activity on this planet? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Does it mean that we should then decide, well, okay, global warming is happening throughout the solar system, therefore, we can just go on and do what we have been doing and everything will be okay? No, it doesn't mean that. I think that there's pretty clear evidence, although some of our guests that have been on the show disagree with me on this, pretty clear evidence that we are exacerbating the problem. We are making our waterways dirtier, polluting them. We are making our air dirtier and polluted. We are pumping chemicals out onto the land and into the waterways that we find out later, oh, oops, this will kill you. Well, I don't think that's smart. I really don't. And, man, you know me. You know I am not a tree-hugging, left-wing, stereotypical greenie. I'm not. And I know all of that I just said is stereotypical. But you know I'm not. But I think rational, reasonable people want to breathe clean air. I think that rational, reasonable people want to have safe water. And we don't want pollutants and poisons in our dirt, in our land. So should we clean up our act? Absolutely. Should we convert to clean technologies? Absolutely. Should we think that because we do that, it will stop global warming? Not on your life. It's not going to stop it. Global warming happens. And right now, something is causing it on all the planets in the solar system. So whatever it is that's causing it on all the planets in the solar system is still going to be there, whatever it is. Are we going to be able to stop global warming? No. Are we going to be able to mitigate some of its impact on us? Yeah, we can, and we should. So do I think that we should move to automobiles that don't use gasoline or diesel or fossil fuels? Absolutely, I think we should. Do I think we should move to solar energy for our electrical energies? Well, yeah, I do. I support that. I think we should. I think we should move away from fossil fuels or petroleum-based fuels as quickly as possible. But I don't think that we should envision that that is going to stop global warming. I don't think there's evidence for that. I think the evidence goes the other way. However, if we do nothing, and these scientists are correct, regardless of what we do, we're headed toward an ice age. And towards the end of the show, I want to thank everybody that called in tonight and that sent a flash message. You rock. You really do. Thank you for participating and for making this such an interesting Open Line Live. I'll be back tomorrow night with Dr. Joseph Farrell and Richard C. Hoagland. You don't want to miss that. Until then, so long, everybody.